Join me, Christine Weinbrenner-Eirich, for soulful conversations with my community of travelers, exploring the heart, the mind, and the globe. We might all agree that we are missing travel right now. These conversations highlight what tourism really means for the world. Soul of Travel honors the passion and dedication of the people making a positive impact in tourism. In each episode, you'll hear the story of industry professionals and seasoned travelers who know travel is more than a vacation. It is an opportunity for personal awareness, and it is a vehicle for change. We are thought leaders, action takers, and heart-centered change makers. This is the soul of travel. Anne DeYoung, co-founder of the Good Tourism Institute, is a passionate change maker and fascinated by the tourism industry. Wanting to contribute to a future-proof tourism industry, she supports tour operators and destinations to become more resilient and sustainable. Her main focus lies upon working towards a sustainable and profitable business while making a positive impact on local communities and the environment. She emphasizes on making sustainability easier, more accessible, and attractive. In our conversation, we dive into ways we can create good tourism, understanding sustainability, and how to bring more of these practices into your travel business. We talk about the importance of knowing your why and your purpose, and how to carry that through into your sustainability measures and better practices. We also spend a moment on an uncomfortable topic of making money while in pursuit of doing good, and how we can shift this mindset. She shares about the course the Good Tourism Institute is creating to help tour operators navigate this transition or build on what they already have in place to be successful, profitable, and sustainable all at the same time. If you want more information, you can sign up now for their free ebook and look for this full course soon. She also shares about a trip to Africa that is her tie to travel and the world she wants to create with tourism as a vehicle for change. Join me now for my soulful conversation with Anne DeYoung. Good morning and welcome to Soul of Travel, or good evening to you since you're on the opposite side of the globe from me today. So excited to welcome Anne to this conversation today and discuss the Good Tourism Institute. I discovered this randomly on LinkedIn, another happy accident of technology, to learn about the work that you're doing, and then reached out. And I'm so happy that you are here for this conversation today. And I'm going to give you a moment to go ahead and introduce yourself and then just share a little bit about Good Tourism Institute, and then we'll go into a lot more depth with that a little bit in our conversation.
So I'm Anne, I'm Dutch from the Netherlands and 26 years old, and I work as a sustainability consultant in the tourism industry. So I've been studying sustainable tourism management, my master's degree, and then from there I started off as an intern for Travelize for Tour Operators, which is a certification scheme for tour operators. And from there on I kind of realized I wanted to do something for myself as business-wise. So I started my own company, Fair Sayari, which means Sayari means planet in Swahili. And from there, I work with both destinations and tour operators that want to become more sustainable. And then last year, in April, actually, we started the Good Tourism Institute, which basically is an online learning platform that helps tour operators become better in business, but then not just on sustainability focus, but more the combination of being more successful and more sustainable, because we feel it's a combination that works for a future-proof tourism industry. So we're trying to make sustainability more of a standard instead of a niche. So it's been an online learning platform so far with a lot of articles and a free ebook. And then we're currently working on our very first online course that's hopefully going to be launched in April.
Excellent.
So you mentioned the term future proofing, which is one of the things that intrigued me when I saw your posts, and I was trying to understand like how you conceptualize that and what that means and how that does apply to the tourism industry. So would you talk to us about what that means and why that's a strategy that you're working within?
Well, basically for me, future proofing the tourism industry would mean to create an industry that can last like forever, because we want our children, grandchildren to be able to experience the same things that we are experiencing at the moment. And the only way we can do that is to preserve and conserve nature, wildlife, local communities, to make sure that everything and everyone benefits from tourism. So the tourism industry as a whole, so accommodations, communities, wildlife, nature, but also the tourists. I think the only way we can continue tourism, it has to be in a good way.
Yeah, I think it kind of takes sustainability and just widens it out a little bit, like you said, incorporating not just the travelers and how they interact and engage with the world, but how the people that we are seeing interact and how they receive tourists and how it becomes more of a relationship versus kind of this entitled experience that sometimes travelers might have when they go to a destination. It's not as reciprocal. And so I think that that's a really important part of the puzzle as well. Has always been one of the hats that I've worn. It's always been an interest, something that I've wanted to bring into conversations and into action and practice in the businesses I've been in. But the first, wall you come up against is always it costs more, it's not efficient, it's not effective, or it's intimidating, we don't know the process. All of those kind of, I guess you see this too with green building or recycling or, any of these things, people always say, no, these sustainable initiatives cost more and I can't bring that into having a profitable business. So how do we find that balance between having this in our business and making a profit?
Well, I don't really believe that sustainability has to be more expensive maybe sustainability does, but good tourism doesn't. Because basically what we are trying to teach tour operators that you can do both at the same time. For example, sustainable products have higher market value, they have a higher quality, but also means a better tourism product. It's a difficult question to be like in a general way. But basically, if you would just say like, I'm only selecting local accommodations, or I'm working with local guides, or I'm not offering any activities that include captive wildlife, that are all responsible choices for a tour operator. And it might involve more work or direct communication. But in the end, it doesn't have to be more expensive, because it doesn't mean that because it is not, for example, an eco lodge or a very exclusive resort, that it's not sustainable. For example, going to the locals or a smaller boutique hotel, for example, that does their own way of benefiting local communities or participating in projects, that's also already good tourism. So it doesn't always have to be certified or eco, or as long as you're making choices that benefit locals and the nature directly. I would say that,
I think that's part of the conversation that gets challenging, is because there's been so many terms associated with this area of tourism, with ecotourism and green tourism and sustainable tourism and responsible tourism. And so one, people don't even know what to call themselves if this is their goal. And two, as consumers, we don't know what we're looking for. And then third, there was obviously the process of greenwashing where everybody was striving to use these labels because it is more appealing to consumers. And then a lot of those products did become kind of elite and expensive and unobtainable for the mass traveler or most travelers. And so it seems like there's a lot of conversations that need to happen just to clear the air and really understand what our objectives are as travelers and as tour operators. And so I think that is a good place even to start, is really even understanding what we need to do to be a good, you know, have good practices. And I love what you said about supporting local hotels and boutique hotels, because often that is a lot less expensive because you're not paying for a chain recognition. And not only are you then keeping the money in the local economy, but you're having a much more valuable, authentic experience, and you're meeting locals. And so I think that adds to that goodness and that value, because that connection with people is what makes tourism so powerful.
Yeah, I think so too. And what you said, like with the whole issue with the concept, like no one knows what sustainability means. And it is a difficult concept. And also I think regenerative tourism came up, and basically it has the same values. So in the end, it doesn't really matter what you call it. We chose good tourism because for us, that is what covers our concept. But in the end, as long as the company is transparent about what they actually do, they can call themselves whatever they want, as long as it's clear in what they actually do. So that's it's difficult. And I think we always call it like a win-win-win situation. So for good tourism, it has to benefit the traveler in the end, because they are looking for that amazing experience that they're paying for. The community or the local destination, because they are the one hosting and they are receiving the impact. And then we want to have that as positive as possible, but also the tour operator, because in the end, we want tour operators to be profitable and successful in order to make even more impact, because you need money to make impact. You have so many tour operators that are, they call themselves social enterprises and they donate a percentage of their profits. But in the end, if you can't make any profit with sustainable travel, to what extent, like how big is your impact? So in the end, you need money. You need to make your own money to make the biggest impact. And how to better to collaborate that with local hotel owners, for example.
Yeah, as you were speaking, I was just thinking of that. And that's kind of, you know, a lot of my colleagues and friends in this industry, we have small businesses. We are all social impact minded, and definitely making money is the tricky part, because we're really doing this from this place of passion and heart and wanting to help in the world and to create these really powerful experiences. And I see myself do it all the time. Well, I'll just throw that in. It's powerful. I'm not going to worry about how much that costs me, or I really want to donate this. That's okay. I'll take that off of, you know, my profit as well. And you get down to the end of the day and you're like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, not only couldn't pay myself for this trip that I led, but I ended up taking money from somewhere else just to pay for my airline ticket to go. And so I think there's maybe a little bit of mindset work in there, that even if you're doing good, that you can still earn money. Like maybe that's on us to give ourselves permission for that as well.
Yeah. Well, I do think that in the sustainability world, especially tourism, there is a kind of mindset that you're not allowed to make money when it's sustainable. And in the end, I think that's kind of what's separating sustainable tour operators and tour operators that are not that involved yet, because they feel they can no longer be profitable if they would include sustainability. And sustainable companies are afraid that they would lose their purpose or their doing good when they start making money. Yes, I really think that should definitely be something that should be combined. And I also think it's possible. There are so many amazing examples of tour operators that are very successful, but still doing good and using their own money, for example, to set up training camps for local guides, or to select those accommodations that work for them. And It's definitely possible. I think it's the mindset that needs to change.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other thing is the thought that it's a little bit a daunting process to get started, and thinking that you kind of have to like go big or go home. Like if you're going to say that you're incorporating sustainable measures or responsible measures, everything in your company needs to change at once versus just incorporating one thing at a time. Can you speak to that? Like, what are some kind of gateway programs that people might use if they want to start to incorporate better practices in their company?
Well, I think you don't need to change everything right away. I would say go back to the core of your company and see like, what is my mission? What are my unique selling points? And then build on that. Because in the end, there are like 1,000 ways you can be sustainable as a tool pricer, but it has to fit your business. Like it has to match your unique selling points, for example. Because it wouldn't make sense that if, for example, you are focused on, I don't know, community-based tourism, for example, that you also completely focus your donations, for example, or your programs on animal welfare conservation. So they don't, of course, you can do both, but in the end, it makes sense to have your whole strategy focus on your purpose. Like, why do you start your business, and also why do you want to make a difference, and how? And then in the end, if you would connect all of that and then stay to the purpose and stick to the goal, then the more impact you can make, the more you focus. And also that's why your niche market is so important, for example. So the more you focus, the better you will be. And also you can like claim your expert status, other people will notice, and then suddenly you are the go-to tool operator that people need to, for example, if they want to do sustainable tourism in communities. Yeah, so in the end, go back to your purpose. And I also think like just reading a lot about awareness raising for yourself. Like, as you said, sustainability is such a broad concept. And in the end, you kind of have to define what it means to yourself. Because, for example, you might not be that interested in the environmental part, for example, but just the more on the animal welfare part, on the communities, or yes, you just have to pick what's important to you and then focus on that. And like for the office, for example, you can start like very basic with buying sustainable coffee and tea, like fair trade or that. But also stop printing, go for online brochures, buy local furniture, have LED lights, turn off all your lights when you don't need them, like energy saving equipment. Like all those basic things, you can change those easily. But changing like the larger steps in your company, offering your different activities or selecting different hotels, I think you can take that step by step. It doesn't have to change all the time in one.
And I think that's really empowering, because you can find success in some of those small measures, and then you kind of you feel more able to start to take on some of the other tasks that maybe you didn't have a comfort level with in the beginning.
Yeah, you just have to start with the low hanging fruits, like everything that's easy to change, you can start doing that. Yeah, and then in the end, take on the bigger steps. And like this, the exact process that you say you don't really know how to do, it's exactly why we're building our online course. It's basically with 10 different methods, like how to become a better tool operator. So from rethinking your whole strategy, defining your niche market, your unique selling points, to improving your communication with local partners and guides, and developing better travel experiences for clients, but also how you can better raise awareness for them so that they also know what's at stake and why it's important you travel like this. Yeah, so it's going to be like a whole program to actually learn to operate this, how to do that, and then with the goal to be successful, profitable, and sustainable at the same time.
Excellent. I think it's really important. It's like I said, you know, really being in this area for a long time, there's still things where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. I mean, you have to have these conversations to kind of keep bringing up new ideas. And so even if it's a tour operator that's been working in that realm, it might still be valuable because there's stuff that changes all the time, or new awarenesses that we have about impacts that we hadn't been thinking about before. And I think the community-based tourism impact aspect is something that's really coming into play, and making sure that local communities are directing how tourism looks and feels where they are. I think we're seeing that to become more common in some aspects of travel. And I think that that's really, I feel like that's going to answer a lot of these questions as well. What are your thoughts on community-based tourism and the role of tourism with creating positive impact for community?
Well, I think community-based tourism is, I think it's a very good tool to benefit local communities, but there's a thin line between when community-based tourism is done right or not. Because, for example, in Kenya, Tanzania, you have, when you go to those performances and where it's all more staged. So community-based tourism done right, for me, would be with cooperative ownership, that the communities actually participate in the development, in that they own the experience, basically, that they directly, so all the profits that are made are theirs, basically, and then combined with the tour operators, instead of just hiring community members to do work for them. And then that also makes them more committed, more responsible, resilient, in a way that they can build their own future, instead of them being so dependent on the tour operator. That's difficult. And then I used to work with a tour operator in Myanmar, for example, and they have a really cool project with in the Irrawaddy River with the dolphins. And what they do there is they have like 8 or 9 communities who live along the river. And every time they go, they pick another community just to make sure that they balance and spread the impact. So they're not just selecting one community that gets all the profit, all the benefits, but they kind of like to spread the whole thing. And that also makes sure that they can trade among one another. So you kind of raise up the whole area, and also to avoid jealousy or, yeah, because that's another thing. That's if you make some people very rich or with good benefits, that might become an issue. So it has to be done right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where people kind of go in this circular, you know, pattern, is they start and you hear things like that, you know, you have to make sure you're doing it right, or you can do more harm than good. You really need to understand the ripple effect. And then it just kind of gives you this paralysis, because if you're really conscious, you don't want to make that mistake, and you don't want to unintentionally cause harm because, you know, we're not there. We don't understand the client, the politics of it, or the village aspects and things that culturally are different than how we would operate. And so I think that again, it's just so much about conversations of what has worked for you, being really honest about what hasn't worked, and working with other tour operators and with locals to kind of solve some of these dilemmas and problems. And I feel like the travel community is unique in that I feel like they are much more collaborative than other industries. I don't know if you see that, but for me, that's definitely that's part of where Soul of Travel came from, is seeing how this community really came together as COVID began. And I wanted to highlight this work that people are doing. And I do think that collaboration and sharing of work is really important and possible in this space.
Yeah, definitely. And also to learn from one another's mistakes. For example, like that community-based tourism, all your intentions can be correct or right. In the end, it's all about how it comes across and how it's actually operated. So I definitely think that there should be, I think there should be more collaboration, more discussions, more like on the tour operator level. because now you see a lot of discussions between experts, between like the larger operators. I think, yeah, like those that are smaller, that are developing their own activities, they might be in need of like peers to see like what's possible, what's not. Yeah, like on a lower level, more yeah, practical, basically.
And I know, again, it, from a financial standpoint, people might think, well, they don't want to share their ideas or give away, you know, this program that they're working on because it's their project. And yet I feel like there's so much room and space for everyone. And, you know, you can have three tour operators coming to the same area and everybody really has a different mission and a different why of why they want to be there and how their product is going to be presented to someone. So I think that I do feel like, and maybe it's just my hope that some of that is dissolving, but you know, I hope that, I think we could all be much more successful collaboratively.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so too.
I know that one thing that you mentioned too is educating our clients as tour operators and how valuable that is. And I think that we talked about this when we talked a couple of months ago, but I, for instance, have an itinerary in Peru. And when I first launched my company, it wasn't taking off and wasn't selling. And I was going to a lesser known area in the country. And I was really adamant that I didn't want to go to Machu Picchu because I didn't want to have over, you know, over tourism and that impact be a part of my itinerary. And knowing that that is, you know, people's bucket list item, they want to go to Peru, they want to go to Machu Picchu. Like, I can really understand that. And I would have people over and over say, if you just would add Machu Picchu, everybody would want to go. And instead of, like, at first it was a little frustrating, but I really know my core values. So I just took that as an opportunity to explain why it's not on my itinerary and why the area that I chose was. So when you're working with tour operators to kind of overcome that hurdle, what does that conversation look like?
Well, I think that would always, always advise them to, well, but I said, go back to their core concept. Like, why do they just want to sell tours, or did he want to make a positive impact? What do they want to offer the client? And you kind of have to balance providing what your target group wants and doing what's good for your business. And in the ideal situation, your target group wants exactly what you want and what you offer. So I would say that if you have clients asking you over and over why Machu Picchu is not on there, your target group might not be the one. So I would say, like, figure out like what your ideal target group would look like, who's your ideal client, and then try and focus on that type of person, because they would never ask you if they would have the same values, if they would be actually your ideal client. They would never want to go to Machu Picchu. They would automatically understand like why you're not offering that, and that's a lot easier said than done. But still, like, yeah, maybe it's something in your marketing or the clients you already have, but then I would say that's not a perfect match.
What about operators who maybe that was a regular part of their itinerary, and not just Machu Picchu? Obviously there's places all over the world that have that same type of draw. As an operator who maybe was not aware of this, wasn't thinking about it, or initially started and profitability was their objective. But now they're thinking, wait a second, I'm seeing the impact this is having. I want to be more responsible. How do they change that dialogue in their marketing, or how do they educate their consumers to really understand why this is valuable?
Well, I think that's all to do with transparency. So if they would say, like, we're not offering this anymore, clearly say that on your website, for example, and saying, like because of core values, and because there's too much over tourism, we're damaging the environment, it's causing negative impact. We have decided to no longer offer Machu Picchu, for example. But then it's always important to offer an alternative. So then not just say like, we're not doing this, but then saying like, I have a much better place for you. Well, you'll be just a few travelers. It's the same, well, it's not the same area, but it has similar beauty. It's just a hidden gem, for example. And then make sure that you kind of sell the alternative. Because if you would just say, we're not offering that, they will go to the competitor who does. So in the end, I would say it's all about educating the travelers, like why you're not doing it. And like some travelers will not care and they will just go to the competitor. But I think there is a group that would think about that and say like, okay, right, I don't want to go there. And you can also choose for a different timing, for example, go for sunset or for sunrise. Or take an alternative route. I know Machu Picchu has different angles you can approach. For example, one has, I think it's a coffee route, it has 4 days of hiking before you reach a viewpoint where you can see Machu Picchu. I mean, that could be an amazing experience without actually entering UNESCO Highlight. So yeah, that would be so I would say think about an alternative that is as appealing to your travelers, after being very transparent of why you chose not to offer that.
Yeah, I love that example where you can still have an element of that experience, and it just gives opportunity to get creative too, because then not only are you maybe still offering this site that people are really in demand for, but you're offering it in a really unique way. So you might actually become more appealing as a tour operator than someone that's doing the standard
trip that everybody else
is buying into.
Yeah, because I haven't been to Peru, but I'm not looking forward to walking around there with $1,000 of people. I would love to have a unique experience where I can see it in a different way and more special way. And yeah, so I would go look for that. And I would look for a tour operator that offers that, so then I would be their ideal client. That's the circle.
There's two sides to that, because there's someone who is an operator like me, my ideal client, like you said, is obviously not looking for that, because I've already told them why I travel, how I travel, and this is what sparked their interest and made them excited about traveling with me. But when you're someone who's looking at becoming more sustainable or more conscious as an operator, then you kind of have to play with that a little bit. But I also think that really the industry is poised for these conversations, with everybody having to have taken this pause in travel and really seeing the positive impact that it's created for the environment and animals, and to not be over trafficked. And then of course there's the balance of the impact of the absence of tourism dollars. So that's a whole another topic, but I think that travelers are going to be more open to that selling point, that it's going to resonate with them a little bit more than maybe it has in the past.
Well, there are a lot of experts saying that post-COVID travelers only are looking for sustainable travel. I think I would wish that were true, but I think it's way too optimistic. I do think what you said, that they're open to. And then like, I've always had like the mindset that tour operators have the responsibility to set the example and to kind of offer sustainable tourism, and then to not give travelers a choice, but then to just offer an amazing travel experience that is also sustainable, and to have the traveler experience what it's like, what it does, how they can contribute to a good tourism industry. And then that they will learn from that and then take that into account when they're looking for their next holiday. And then that's also the circle that a lot of people, tour operators, are saying our customers don't want it, but then those customers might not even know what they want if they have the thought that sustainability is too expensive or not for them, or if they're only tree huggers. Sustainability has such a negative image for so many travelers, which we can break. Basically, we can show them that sustainable travel doesn't have to be only hiking or only doing a very sustainable activity. It can be a combination. And it can be the most amazing travel experience they have if you do it right.
And I was just going to say too, for the operators that really like their target market 100%, that's all they want to do is go to these sites, then okay, so that is your market. Then if you want to incorporate more sustainable practices, how can you do it? Where can you balance that within your itinerary? If you're still going to offer, you know, that area, can you look at different hotels or restaurants? Can you use carbon offsetting? Can you find all these other components that you can still play with to kind of create that equation more equally?
Yeah, there are so many different options to make your itinerary more sustainable. You just have to see like what's possible and also what would fit your company. Because in the end, people will want to travel. They will want to see the highlights. You kind of have to facilitate that in a way that it benefits everyone instead of just the traveler.
Yes, I definitely agree. And actually that makes me get really excited about it because I'm like, oh, actually I want to look at that and how could I do that in a way that is aligned with my values? And then really I'm lessening the burden on that destination simply by the act of putting something out there that is much more conscious. I was going to just ask you a little bit about your own personal travel experiences, because I know that a lot of times, especially again in this industry, we get into it because we've fallen in love with travel at some point along the way, or we've had a really impactful experience, or maybe we've had a disastrous experience that we want to counteract. But I was just wondering if you would share with me, you know, one of those experiences that has really inspired you to be on this journey and to be so dedicated to good tourism and creating the Good Tourism Institute.
That's a difficult question, what my most valuable tourism experience was. I have a big thing for Africa, that's for sure. my first trip was to Tanzania when I was 19, and I did a research for a Dutch tour operator that wanted to develop an ecotourism itinerary in Tanzania, and I could just test everything and then kind of select what I thought was best, what fitted the company. And I just really love the African hospitality. And they're willing to make something of their life. They're very resilient. They just really, they're optimistic and they're warm and just want to do everything. And one of the companies I met when I was working with Travelize, that's a friend of mine from Theo, and he is, it's in Uganda. It's in the northern Karamoja region. And basically that area has been a ground for a conflict for years. It was a war, and no one was actually, I think it was a negative travel advice for the whole region for like 20-30 years, and now that peace has returned and the area is open again, Theo built his community-based tourism business there. And what he does is that together with all the local communities there, he kind of set up a whole a network of community-based tourism. So I went there 2 years ago, and then I spent a night with the local shepherd. So then one of the his local guides brought me on a Boda bike like for 4 or 5 hours in the middle of nowhere, where we stayed for a night with those shepherds. And they told me like all those amazing stories, and like being in the middle of nowhere in Uganda at night, it's just, yeah, it's amazing. And he really proved that tourism can do so much good for people if you do it right. And I always use him as an example, actually, because I really love the way how he set up. It's a very successful company, basically, but it's all in collaboration with locals. And he is promoting that area in such a way that more tour operators are also offering that area now. So he's kind of spreading that impact and inviting a lot more people, tourists, to that area. To experience that amazing culture, because it's kind of been hidden from the rest of Uganda for years. And I think that inspired me to also help other tour operators to develop tourism in a way that it actually benefits everyone and still be successful.
I was lucky enough to be able to travel in Africa and Uganda as well. And I totally honor that sentiment of the resiliency and community, and it was really powerful. It was really shifted my perspective on humanity, really. Like, I just hadn't seen people who operated from such a place of community. And I was like, okay, this is what things need to feel like and look like. And that resiliency and there's no willingness to let anyone else fail. Like, even if you have like the smallest of one thing, you will still share it, because that's just the mindset. And I love traveling there so much, and it really changed how I wanted to show up as someone in the tourism industry as well. So I'm happy that you had that same experience. It's really powerful. And also that experience of camping in the middle of nowhere in Africa. I was in Kenya, but it makes you feel like the smallest speck on the earth. Yeah, and it's kind of the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
It's very humbling. And I remember I had a tent in the middle of wherever I was, and opened it up in the morning, and like my Western mindset, like I went walking around by the campfire and I was like, oh, weird, there's dog poop here. And my friend was like, where do you think the dogs came from? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess it's probably, and she's like, it's hyena. And I was just like, oh my gosh, then, you know, terrified that there was like hyenas circling our camp while we're sleeping. And, but it's really powerful. And it's so amazing to be able to have those experiences and kind of feel like a little bit of your insignificance in the world. And it really helps you to see the importance of everyone. And I think that is kind of the magic of travel. And I feel like when you create these experiences that are really tied to community, then that's when we get the opportunity to access that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you wanted to share about the work that you guys, that you're doing right now? I know you mentioned your program that's going to be starting in April. How can people learn more about getting involved if they are a tour operator who's thinking about adding this to the way that they work? What can they do to get involved with you?
Well, basically, if you go to the Good Tourism Institute website, we have an online library with a lot of articles on different topics, also marketing, communication, developing your strategy, finding your niche market, community-based tourism also. And also what we share there are good practice stories. So we have several tour operators already that have shared their way of doing good tourism. So for example, the story about Karamoja region is also there. But also to operator in Egypt that is doing the best it can, and also to involve the communities in the local deserts. And then we've also written an ebook that is free to be downloaded from the website as well. And it basically gives you the first steps to implement sustainable tourism. So it's all the basics. And then if you download the ebook, you're automatically added to our email list. Every week when we have a new article or video, then they will be updated on that. And then we'll also be sharing our new information about the course when we're starting to launch via that email list as well.
I would also mention to anyone who's listening, if you're not a tour operator, but you're a traveler or in some other segment of the travel industry, but you're interested in learning more, I've received the newsletters and follow you on LinkedIn, and constantly I'm reading things that, you know, get me excited about traveling from the perspective of a traveler, and just thinking in a different way. So I would say there's a lot of value in the content for people who aren't tour operators as well. So just to encourage anybody else who wants to learn more about this topic to reach out and to follow you on social media and subscribe as well to your newsletter. The last thing that I have is just kind of a little bit of fun. It's more about you as a traveler, but I think it's fun for people to get to hear both sides, the business side and the personal side. So this is a rapid fire questions that never turn out to be rapid fire, but that's okay. So I'm just going to end with that because I feel like it's a fun way to end the conversation. But what is your favorite book or movie that inspires you to travel or offers you a little bit of a travel escape?
It's by a Dutch writer, and it's basically there is a trilogy, so there are three books, and it starts with Mother Earth being so angry with all the climate change and wars that she switches on her ashes, I think, and then it kind of makes the whole world switch. So for example, Greenland is all covered with ice at the moment, but then it melts, and then there's a beautiful, valuable continent there, and they build a whole new living where women are where women are the boss, so they're ruling the whole country, and they do it in such a way that everyone has respect for one another. They don't do electricity. They do everything with hand. They don't eat meat only when they're old. They have a maximum number of fish they can eat per day. And everything is such in harmony with nature, with animals, with people. And then the whole story goes that Europe is like a whole new continent, which is dry, and they are looking for a new valuable land. And they are basically trying to conquer that new continent because it has a lot of valuable assets. And basically it's what we of course know, the Europe part, but it's so refreshing to read how that community lives. We could have done that, like living in such harmony with nature. And yeah, it's very old fashioned. Also when you read it, it's like 30, 40 years old. But that inspires me to do well, both for nature and for animals, and to kind of find a way to create tourism in a way that we can kind of have that back.
What is always in your suitcase or your backpack?
My e-reader.
I love to read books too, and I was so resistant for so long, and I found myself like putting like 6 or 7 books, like almost my whole backpack is full of books, and I'm like, okay, you have to cave, you have to get the e-reader for when you travel. What is your favorite destination?
Well, I was in love with South Africa and Uganda. We went to Japan last year, and I think that's definitely my favorite continent.
Where do you still long to visit?
I would love to go to Amman, actually. I saw a few pics of a friend that went there, and Oman is a lot different than I expected it to be. So apparently, yes, it's amazing. I would also love to go to Madagascar, and Argentina is also still on the list. I have a very long list.
Yeah, I do too, pretty much every place. I have been lucky enough to go to Oman, and honestly, it depends on what day you ask me, but that's sometimes my favorite. I loved it. It was like magic. It was kind of like traveling back in time, and I loved it way more than I would have expected. What do you eat that immediately connects you to a place you've been?
Tim Tams, like from Australia. Those chocolate cookies, yeah, every time I eat those.
Who was the person that inspired or encouraged you to set out and explore the world?
My dad. He used to be a captain on those large container ships. So he traveled a lot. And I like from the start, I always wanted to do that as well. We also made a competition out of that when for school, high school, I could choose a destination within Europe that we could go to with class. And then I went to Russia with a group because my dad was never there. I just wanted to kind of beat him in destinations. And then last year we went to Northern Norway for the first time together, just the two of us. Yeah, it was a very special experience. That's really cool.
And the last one is, if you could take an adventure with one person, fictional or real, past or alive, who would you travel with?
Definitely my boyfriend, Rick. Yeah, it sounds cheesy.
He's lucky. Usually people pick someone really extravagant.
I didn't think that far. But yeah, no, we're also like, we're building the Good Tourism Institute together, and it's been such fun to build that together and to be able, well, in the future, hopefully, to travel and to work at the same time and to kind of, well, build that nomad life. Yeah, so he's the person I want to do that with.
We were talking a little bit about this before we hopped on, but it's so interesting to be so focused on travel in this time when we're not traveling. So yeah, given that you launched in April, it will be a really unique experience for you to be able to take Good Tourism Institute on the road and really put things into action. And I look forward to you having that experience soon, hopefully.
Me too, hopefully, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing the work that you do. I think it's so important, and I'm so excited to have made this connection and to be able to share this with whoever needs to hear this message and will inspire them to create change as a traveler or as an operator.
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Soul of Travel. I hope you enjoyed the journey. If this sounds like your community, welcome. I'm so happy to connect with you. You can find more about the ways you can be a part of the Soul of Travel and Lotus Sojourn community at www.lotussojourns.com. Here, you can find out more about Soul of Travel and my guests. You can also find the Lotus Sojourns I Guide for Women, as well as my current book, Sojourn, offering an opportunity to explore your heart, mind, and the world through the pages of books specially selected to create a unique journey. You can find me on Facebook at Lotus Sojourns and join our community, the Lotus Sojourns Collective, or follow me on Instagram, either at Lotus Sojourns or Soul of Travel Podcast. Join the Lotus Sojourns mailing list. I look forward to getting to know you and hopefully hear your story.